5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just rolled up a fatty, a GG number 4 hybrid, 26.7%, and she means business in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do be all my friend that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shagged, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High tonight. And right now, we're watching a couple of things. A, the Falcons have a 2-point lead, 16-14, over the Panthers early in the third. And they're reviewing a possible turnover by the Panthers after a little dump underneath. The running back got lit up and fumbled. Whether or not he had possession is what they're trying to determine. Because if he did fumble, the Falcons recovered it inside Panthers territory, around the 46, 47-yard line, somewhere in that neighborhood. It may be even closer. I just saw the ball pop loose, and he got lit up, and they pounced on the ball. So we'll see what that decision is. 16-14, they got the field goal as time expired at the half to take the lead. You had two Samuel touchdowns for Carolina. The Panthers had a lead, but Matt Ryan wasn't having any of it and drove them down the field right before the half, and they got the kick and the two-point lead. That's where they stand right now. I just watched Gegard Mousasi win the Bellator middleweight championship in a win over Lima. Coming up, Colorado State and Fresno State, and we'll keep our eyes on that Georgia Southern game at the half that was tied at 10s.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table. with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all events with you, fourth down fail by the Panthers. They hand it off to Davis, and he runs into some giant lineman's fat ass and just got jacked up with the ass tackle. You've had the butt fumble. You've had everything. But the ass tackle is a brand new one. Fail on fourth down, and the Falcons will take over. This is, you know, starting to look like the Falcons will find a way tonight to me. I mean, they were losing, and I just felt at some point, you know, you had a chance. You're up on them. You're up eight, and you let that slip away, and then you're down two at the half, and then you bring it out in the second half. You get a break on what looked like a catch fumble after a jack. You get lit up fumble. They give them the break. They give them the ball back, and they proceed to fail on fourth down. It's the second time I've seen them fail on fourth down. I've switched around because I was watching the Bellator fight, and then I was watching the South Alabama Georgia Southern game, and I was watching all the coverage about Trevor Lawrence getting COVID, and so I missed some of the game. I did want to say, though, emphatically how boring I thought the game was. I mean, to tell you, I was watching that game, and I've had more fun on the toilet. Honestly, I've had better sessions in the header. I've had a more fulfilling experience spending time, you know, with the newspaper sports page and, you know, maybe even the phone and like a good, you know, 20-minute session in the men's room. I prefer our home bathroom facility to watching this boring football game. You can't even deny it, Carver High. I mean, these two teams, what is going on? They sure know how to pick them. Let's pick, you know, I think they picked them because of the Falcons' potential and Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, and everyone thought the Falcons were going to be good this year. They're anything but. And then the Panthers, when you get Matt Rhule in there after they fire their coach and they finally get a coach in there to start over from scratch, you knew they weren't going to be that good. They're surprisingly, 500. But I thought that, or 3-4, they're a game under 500. So I thought that this would be the last team I'd be seeing on primetime games this year, to be honest with you. And then it's 16-14, so the score seems like it's a good game, but you can't deny this game has been disastrous.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been that overly exciting, that's for sure. I thought Atlanta should be up a lot more. They had a situation on their first drive of the game where they went right down the field, and the guy kicked a field goal on like fourth and inches. Nothing like doing that when you're 1-6. They pick these games. They try to put everybody on Thursday night at least once because they want to make it, you know, fair that everybody has to have that short week. So, you know, everybody's got to do it eventually, and they try to throw a couple division games in there. I mean, they all thought Carolina was going to stink too. So, not the best game. We've had better ones, that's for sure.
Well, Julio Jones just had a big first down. I think that he's moving the ball at will against Carolina now since the second quarter. Like, every time he drops back, he's connecting. He's got 219 now, one pick. That led to the second Samuel touchdown, and now he's, you know, just moving the ball a little bit, and then they, you know, screw it up here and there. Both of these teams are so stagnant, it's not even funny. So we'll keep our eyes on this game. It's 16-14 Falcons right now. I did want to talk about this Trevor Lawrence story because that's the big piece tonight for sure to dig into. The top quarterback, the Heisman favorite, hasn't lost a regular season game ever. And he's come down with COVID. So he's tested positive for COVID. He's in isolation. He will not play against Boston College in Chestnut Hill. So that's a given. He's not playing. Now the big question, not so much BC, it's, I guess, a 10-day window, Carver High, that I keep hearing about for ACC, right? So he's not going to make the Notre Dame game, is he?
No, the Notre Dame game is 9 days away. If you're going from today, and today is the day of the positive test, and it has to be 10 days from that, Notre Dame game is 9 days, a week from Saturday. So he would miss South Bend. Yeah.
The door opens for the Irish.
It does, but it does, but it doesn't, because you know what all of the, you know, there's so many Irish haters everywhere. You know what they're going to say. And listen, there's no, I'm not saying the Irish would beat them even without Lawrence, because I'm sure that the Clemson backup would probably start for like 95% of the Power 5 teams. But you already know what they'll say if the Irish did win that game. Well, typical Notre Dame getting a break. Notre Dame, as always, gets a break. You know, that's what that'll be.
So here it is. What they're saying is Athletic Director Dan Radakovich told CBS that Lawrence tested negative for COVID on Sunday, with ACC protocols requiring teams to test three times during game week. Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Lawrence's positive test came on Wednesday. Said he's experiencing mild symptoms. It is unconfirmed when those symptoms began. Coupled with ACC isolation protocols, it appears possible he could be cleared to play against Notre Dame on Saturday the 7th.
Well, yeah, because that's exactly, if they're saying that it's Wednesday, then exactly 10th day would be a week from tomorrow, Friday. So they'll find their way. Just like Saban got his three negatives to be on the sideline against Georgia, they'll find a way, as long as he stays healthy, to get Trevor Lawrence in South Bend next Saturday night.
Uigawa Lele is the backup, the five-star DJ Uigawa Lele. I don't even want to say that more than once. Is being groomed for taking over the BC game. He was rated by various recruiting services number one player in the class of 2020. He's appeared in five games and done nothing. We're going to put a junior five-star on the bench, and we're going to play a freshman five-star. There you go. So they're bringing in one of their star recruits to play for Trevor Lawrence against Boston College. Now, I locked in that line at 31.5 already against him. I was taking the line of 31.5 even with Lawrence playing. Now, that line's got to change, right? It's just got to change.
Yeah, it's going to go down. It's not going to be 31.5 anymore. Right now on FanDuel, everything is down. Anything involving Clemson is off the board at FanDuel. That includes the Saturday game against Boston College. The Heisman Trophy bets are down. The win, the bet to win the ACC, that's down. So they're waiting to see, I guess, where everything settles before they put any Clemson-related bets back up on the board.
Too bad I already made the bet.
I know. I'm just saying, if you know, for you, it's great. I'm saying a lot of people bet the game the morning of. They ain't going to get 31.5 anymore.
No, they aren't. So how do you think the kid, the five-star freshman, will do at Chestnut Hill against a decent BC team? They're decent. Like, I took the 31 and a hook even with him being healthy. So they didn't cover 46 against Cuse. I hit that bet, too. I hit it both ways. And now I think Clemson wins that game. I really don't believe. I got a hard time believing they win by 32 points. With this kid coming in. Now, I hear he's a stud, and he's amazing, and he's unbelievable, but stranger things have happened with every guy that's the greatest recruit ever, the greatest player ever. They come in, and when they play their first game, like, he's been in games. He's thrown for 102 yards. Yeah. He's thrown, like, 19 passes in his career. So at least he's been in games, but they didn't do anything outrageous when he was in. So now he's going to play against BC. What do you think he'll do?
I think he'll win the game. I still believe they'll win. He's going to get a chance to really shine and show what he can do and not be in a garbage time mop-up situation. But let's remember, they're still the number one team in the country. They still have tons of weapons on offense, including Travis Etienne. They could just give him the rock all day. They still have a monstrous defense. Clemson will be just fine in Chestnut Hill on Saturday.
Wow. It's crazy. What did you think when you first heard the news? Like, what was your initial reaction?
I'm not surprised at anybody getting COVID anymore with the way that it's gone this year. Anybody who gets it, nothing surprised.
So just everyone's going to get it, all of us.
When a new person gets it, it's not like, wow, you know, you're kind of accustomed to it now, unfortunately.
Carver High and I will be doing over-under totals on when each of us will get COVID when we come back on the Vent.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out to the church tonight. We're all on a bench with you. Huge Saturday night. I know that Mafia is going to be watching the crappy UFC ESPN Plus card, while Carver High and I are going to be styling, watching Showtime pay-per-view for Tank Davis, Gervonta Davis against El Terremoto, Leo Santa Cruz for the world. They're fighting at 130, two belts at stake. You've got the WBA super featherweight belt and the WBA lightweight world title belt all at stake. It's all in, winner take all, two champs. The best against the best. It doesn't get any better. Knockout artist Davis against the hand-throwing Leo Santa Cruz. They love him in Lipstick City and Mexico. Of course, Gervonta is a Mayweather protege, Floyd's top money ticket on the money team, and Mayweather Promotions. Should be an incredible fight from the Ferrellimo Dome in San Antonio off the Riverwalk at 9 Eastern on Showtime pay-per-view. The undercard has a title fight, the WBA super lightweight title. Mario Barrios of San Antonio taking on Cowboy Carl Ryan Carl from Houston. Plus Pro Grace, Geraldez, Cruz, Magdaleno. Four fights, killer card. It's on Showtime pay-per-view at 9 Eastern. Call your cable operator or satellite provider. You got it on all your smart TVs. You can get it at Showtime.com, the Showtime app. Order the fight. You'll be selling. Ticketmaster has tickets. You can see this fight in person at the Alamo Dome. There are socially distanced blocks of seats available for sure. They are letting fans in. It's the first fight with fans that we've seen since COVID started for boxing. So a great sign there. And it's Saturday night, Davis, Santa Cruz, Showtime, pay-per-view. Order the fight now, and I'll see you Saturday night enjoying that one on pay-per-view. I can't wait. All right, by the way, coming up, Raul Marquez will join us, the former boxing great, now with Showtime. He'll break down the fights for us coming up here in about 13 minutes or roughly thereafter. So hopefully that'll all pan out. So right now in the college football games, because I've kept my eye on the Georgia Southern game, there's about 5:50 left in the game, and Georgia Southern has the ball at their own 32. They're up a touchdown on South Alabama, 24-17. I got them laying 5.5, so still some work to do. And then Fresno has jumped out. Carver High not liking that. Colorado State down 7-0 at Fresno, and Colorado State, the Rams have the ball at their own 40 right now. And in Payne Day action, the Falcons tacked on a field goal to lead 19-14 in Charlotte over the Panthers, and now the Panthers are punting the ball back to the Falcons again. Oh, the fake. Oh, there's the fake. Let's see what we got here. Oh, what do we got here? Oh, what do we got here? Did he get the first down? I think he did. He gained more than 9, so the Panthers will keep the rock. I was just about to say, their offense is so stagnant and anemic since the Samuel second touchdown catch in the corner from Teddy. They haven't done anything. They failed miserably. They failed on fourth down. They can't get first downs. They look terrible in the second half, particularly. And now all of a sudden they pull off the fake punt to the up man after the snap. They just snapped it to the right. The guy got the ball, took off running, and he got the first down after he broke a tackle from Hill. And now they're at the 40 of the Falcons. And there's 5 minutes left in the third. And they just keep handing off to Davis, who never gains a yard. I mean, honestly, like, their offense is so boring and so predictable and so awful. I just don't even understand. How is it that they, Jeremy Chin was the guy that ran the fake punt out of Southern Illinois. I don't understand how they just keep handing off to Davis and just, they have no creativity whatsoever. There's no, no passing game, but Teddy Bridgewater, you remember when they got him? He's our quarterback. And, I just think he looks terrible. Honestly, like, I don't know what he's doing out there. Would you even disagree with that? Like, Carver High, like, he looks lame.
No, he doesn't look great tonight. The throw to Samuel on the one touchdown was pretty nice. I just don't think this is why I like the Falcons tonight. I know they lose every week. I don't think this team's that good either that they're playing, and you're seeing it tonight. I mean, they're not a great team either. Both these teams stink. So anything can happen, but Teddy hasn't been awful this year. Tonight he's been hasn't been great, but this season he's been pretty decent for them.
It's the Super Bowl of sucky teams.
Yeah, they're not good. Not a good team. I mean, yeah, they start out. They've got 3 wins. I bet you don't win more than 6 games.
Fight. We got a fight breaking out. We got a fight breaking out. We got bodies being thrown. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Sorry about that, Carver. Sometimes I lose myself. I get
flustered.
That's
all right. That's a great tune. So that's okay. A little drowning pool.
Yeah. I gave it a little strong effort there. So this morning I went to the gym to train with my boy Robbie Clutch. And so what happens is that Bridgewater down? Oh God, he's hurt. Oh God. Oh, he got a shot to the head. Concussion. He got nailed in the head with a forearm and an elbow. Let's just eject 92 now while we are ahead of things. So I went to the gym this morning, and I got up at like 6 in the morning to go train, right? So I've told you before about the ladies' tea party and bridge club that I was playing with in this gym where they
you're not allowed to foul me. Oh, you're not allowed to touch me. Oh, oh, you're not allowed to guard me. Oh, 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 you're not allowed to argue with me when I make bad calls. Oh, 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 you're not allowed to shoot threes and drain from everywhere and score on us, Pharrell. You're too good of a scorer. You're not allowed to play and score and win. We only win because we're all a bunch of femmes. Oh, oh. Oh,
that's the ladies tea party and bridge club that I was playing with for 5 months that I no longer play with because I was
evicted from playing with the girly men. You're not allowed to argue with me. You're not allowed to foul me. You're not allowed to drop 30 on me. You're not allowed to step back dagger me. Oh, oh, oh.
And then, just for good measure, the guy that got me into the ladies' tea party and bridge club, he still wants to, you know, train with me because he got the Honda. Like 3 of them got the Honda. They all went out drinking on one of their birthdays and they all got the Honda. And then, so I didn't go near the guy for a month. And then I didn't play once when I was playing at like 5 in the morning. Everybody knows I was playing at like 5 in the morning. People don't like hearing my basketball stories. This would be a good time to go stab yourself in the face. So anyway, I went today to meet it. And I've done this Tuesday. I went and we trained and we shot like 300 jumpers. We had the shot machine out, the three-point shot machine. It just spits balls to you. It's great. And we were running lines. We did it all. He played one-on-one. We shot literally 300 jumpers apiece, right? So everything's fine, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, this is great. When we're done, we lifted. Everything was Gandhi. So he says to me on Thursday, today, he said, oh, let's do it again. Let's go run again. I'm like, all right, I'll meet you there. So I drive like 20 minutes, whatever, no big deal. 20 minutes I drive. I get there. When I get there, he's not there yet. So I'm sitting in the parking lot. One thing leads to another. Here he comes. He pulls in, goes in, opens the door, lets me in. I go in and they change the locks on the basketball gym. They changed the locks on the basketball court. We couldn't get on the court. We couldn't get in. And then the chick running the place at that hour, she's like, I have no idea where the keys are. We looked everywhere. We looked everywhere for the keys. We never got in and we never played. So they switched the locks and changed the keys, the whole deal. And now you can't get in. So I go there. And then, so I basically drove 40 minutes to do nothing. I never shot. I never played. I never trained. I never lifted. I never, you know, shot one ball. So that upset me. Now the same guy is calling me up and I'm meeting him again there tomorrow morning. He claims that he has the keys and that he's good to go and that we're going to get in and we're going to be able to train. Now, do you believe him or not, Carver High, that he'll have the keys tomorrow when I go to get into the gym that I couldn't get into today?
I don't believe it. I don't think he'll have the keys. No.
He won't have them. So it'll be another swing and a miss. Now, just so you know, like when I play now, because there's so much, you know, COVID and Hanta going around that they literally now, you can't play anywhere. Like you cannot play basketball like indoors. So, I mean, there's just no like open gyms that you can go play in, trust me. But now what they're doing is they're like, you know, renting it to people. They're renting courts to people. So I'm playing Saturday at this place that my kids have played before, this basketball court where my kids play like AAU ball. I'm playing in this gym and I'm paying $20, right? So everyone in the group is paying $20. It's like $250 for 2 hours. And I'm playing. I'm now, you know, pay to play. Now I pay to play basketball. Isn't that a drag? Don't you think I should just be allowed to, like, go play ball and get in a fight and score 50 points and make enemies, not have to pay? Drag. Pharrell on a bench with you, and 1917 Falcons right now in this game with just under 2 minutes to go and rolling in the third. By the way, during Coast to Coast today, we were doing our weather reports. Carver High in his spare time is our weatherman on the show. We always check the weather map and the radar, the Doppler radar before games so as to not jeopardize our bets. And Carver High told me that there was potential for high winds and rain tonight. And then later in the broadcast, we did a second weather update. And he said that there is potential for some level of clearing. I just wanted to remind everyone that now I'm watching the game and it is pouring ass. And it is.
We were right both times. It was clear. And then it was clear for a little while. Then now it's pouring. So we were right on both ends.
Perfect. You're like Sam Champion doling out the weather. Nice performance by you, Carver High. Raul Marquez, the legendary fighter and broadcaster on Showtime Boxing. Of course, we're getting ready for the big fight, Tank Davis and El Terremoto. My buddy Leo Santa Cruz. Leo's been on the show about 20 times over the years. I'm good friends with him. He's a great kid. I love him. But I want to talk to Raul now about the fight and the card. But I really want to talk to him at the very least about his brilliant career. Raul, my man, how you doing, brother? It's good to have you on the bench.
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, just a waiting game here in San Antonio, you know, waiting for the big day. You got two more days in quarantine, being in a room locked up, you know, but it's part of the game. So, you know, it's like I'm fighting all over again, but except I'm doing the broadcasting.
So I remember two things. One, I think that you started your career, your first fight ever was in San Antonio. Is that about right?
Yeah, that is right. That is correct. It was in October of 1992. That year, I competed in the Olympics for the United States, represented the United States in the Olympics, and I turned pro under the main events, Lou Duva. Back then, you know, they had all the 84 Olympians, you know, Whitaker and Meldrick Taylor, Evander Holyfield, and all them guys. So, yeah, I turned pro here in San Antonio. As a matter of fact, Jesse James Leija was the main event. He was already a up-and-coming, you know, prospect. Just a lot of memories I've had here in San Antonio. You know, not only my pro debut, but we had a lot of training camps here at San Fernando Gym. You know, the late Joe Sousa. I remember the cutman Joe Sousa. Remember right. The trainer Georgie Benton, Ronnie Shields, the late Lou Duva, and just a bunch of fighters. The late Arturo Gatti and David right. Tua, Andrew Galata, Pernell Whitaker, all them guys, Evander Holyfield, we all, you know, had a training camp here. We had a blast. So, you know, I got good memories and, you know, a lot of fans here in San Antonio. Also, just, you know, not being too far from my hometown of Houston. It's just down the road. So I spent a lot of good times here, and it was great to be here. And great to be back over here. Doing this
They've
fight.
Had a lot of great fights in San Antonio the last few years. Canelo's fought there at the Ferrellimo Dome. It's been a good spot for boxing, I think.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Manny Pacquiao. I covered one of Pacquiao's. I believe Pacquiao beat Barrera here. That's when I first got to know Manny Pacquiao. Back when I was doing stuff for HBO Latino, but. Yeah, San Antonio has always been a big fight town. I mean, way back to the Tony Ayala days. Remember Tony Ayala and Ayala
sure.
brothers and all that, and Ayala Senior, and of course, you know, let's not forget when the great Julio Cesar Chavez fought here in the Alamo Dome against Pernell Whitaker. So yeah, it's always been a town that you know the fans captivate. They love the boxing game, and not only that, when you have a hometown guy, like I remember when Jesse James Leija fought here, he was from San Antonio. They really follow their champion, you know. So it's exciting. It's exciting to be here with his fight Saturday night at the Alamo Dome.
You know, I was at a couple of your big fights, and they didn't go well, but I was there. They were huge fights for you. I remember seeing you fight Yori Boy Compass in Atlantic City in 97. I was there for that fight. And then I was also at the Fernando Vargas fight at Tahoe. It was at Caesars in Tahoe in like 99.
Yeah, Caesars in Tahoe,
I went to that fight as well. What do you remember most about you started fighting really big names right around that window in your career in like 97 through, you know, 2000 kind of, unless I'm crazy and into the, you know, well into 2000s, like, but some of the biggest fights, I mean, were it all started with that. I thought with Compass and Vargas. And then I think you fought later, you know, Sugar Shane, and then I think you fought Jermaine Taylor. So what do you remember about those two fights at the beginning that I mentioned?
Well, what I remember from, you know, your boy Campus, you know, first of all, when I was a fighter, you know, I now a lot of fighters now it's obviously treated more like a business, you know, and back then I didn't treat it like a business. You could easily say I could have went back and milked that title and fought, you know, guys like, you know, when I fought Romales Ellis, he was a smaller guy, but, you know, he was still a known guy. He won a bronze medal in the Olympics for 1988, and I knocked him out in four rounds. I believe that was my first title defense. But, you know, I wanted to fight the best to get to the best fights. I wanted to, fight the big names, you know, and maybe get to an Oscar De La Hoya fight or, you know, Fernando Vargas, Shane Mosley. So when I fought Euroboy Campus, that fight, I fought in September, and everybody knows this story. I fought in September 1997 on the card of, I was a co-main event when Oscar De La Hoya fought Hector Macho Camacho. and I fought Keith Mullins on that card.
I remember that.
Well, that was a brutal. Yeah, that was a brutal fight. I got cut up really bad, and I won the fight. I thought I pulled it out. I was a champion, and I got a split decision, but I was banged up pretty bad. I got like 70-something stitches inside out, and I came back too soon, you know, in September of 97, back in December, I was in there with, you know, at that point, Yuriboy Campos was a knockout artist, you know, had like 77 wins, 50-something knockouts, something like that. So, you know, my face was not, you know, this is after the fact, the doctor, you know, my face was not completely healed. You know, it was still traumatized from the, it looked fine from the outside, but from the inside, it was still traumatized. So at that point, when they stopped the fight in the eighth round, right. You know, I couldn't see no more. I my face just completely closed up. And, you know, at that point, the fight was even. One judge had it for me, one judge had it for your boy. And we just had it even. So, anyways, I couldn't continue because I was just blinded, you know. I mean, yeah, he dazed me and all that, but I knew where I was at. But it's a fight that I took too soon, you know. I should have waited. Me and my father were inexperienced. We were new to the pro game and all that. And, you know, we made some, you know, you live and learn. I should have waited 6-7 months. But, you know, I had a lot of pressure from the promoter at that point. Take this fight. You win this fight. Maybe you get to fight Oscar the following year, my Olympic roommate, teammate. And that's the reason why I took the fight, you know. And I felt like if I wouldn't have been banged up from the Mullins fight, I would have beat Yuri Boy, and you know, who knows what would have happened the next year. But and that night, you know, Keith Mullins on that same card when I lost the title to the Yuri Boy Campos, he knocks out Terrible Terry Norris. At that point, he was the guy at 154. He was pound for pound one of the best fighters in the world, and Keith Mullins, the guy that I had beat in September on the right. Camacho card, goes and knocks out Terrible Terry Norris. So, you know, that tells you where I stood on that fight, you know. But and then, you know, I worked myself up after I lost the title. I believe I fought Chibata Flores. I took off like 9 months, and I fought Chibata Flores on ESPN. That was a good fight for me, and I won. And then after that, I think I fought Fernando Vargas. And
yeah, I was there.
No excuses there. I mean, I fought Fernando at his best, you know. He was a sharp guy, you know, sharp shooter. He was very slick and, you know, angles. And, I mean, he was on for that fight. You know, he was, really was on. And I lost to him. He stopped me in 11 rounds. And that was in Tahoe in Reno. I believe that was in 1999 on HBO After Dark.
Yeah, I think I was at the Mullins fight, too. I was at and that that card was in Vegas. I think it was at the Thomas and Mack where that you beat Mullins for the title. I was at that fight too, and I saw you win the belt, and then I saw you lose your next fight as well. Tell me respectfully, I got 3 minutes, Raul. What do you think of Tank and Leo on Saturday? I love Leo. He throws more hands than anybody I've ever seen, but he's got a monster on his hands in Tank.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough fight. I mean, you know, Tank Davis, he's the up and coming star, you know. Of course, you know, Mayweather's backing him up, and he's a 3-time world champion. He's a young lion, you know. He's strong, he's fast, explosive, got the power. And you know, it's an important fight for Leo, you know, because he's one, you know, he's a 4-division world champion. He's trying to be one of the few Mexican fighters that wins 5 titles in different weight classes. But it's going to be tough, man, because, you know, he does have the experience. You know, he's got wins over Abner Mares, and, you know, he's 1-1 against Carl Frampton. He, you know, he's been there before, and he's been at big events like this. And, you know, I think his punch volume, you know, he stays busy in there. I mean, the guy throws over 1,000 punches in one fight. And, you know, that could make the fight interesting at times, but I just think that, you know, Tank, you know, sooner or later will take over in the second half of the fight because, you know, he's going to be in great shape, you know, with Mayweather in camp, directing his camp. I think he's going to make weight tomorrow, and I think he's going to be in great shape. Well, who wouldn't be in great shape when Mayweather's in camp with you and you know, running and some at times running your camp and giving you advice and stuff like that. I'm sure he's, you know, he's in tip-top shape, and he's going to be ready because this is the moment that he's been waiting for. But same thing for Leo. You know, he wants that fight. He wants it bad. I know he's got a big heart. You know, both of the fighters have really great stories. You know, Leo with his father. You know, he almost, you know, I guess he died. Right. And they brought him back, you know, when he had coronavirus. I mean, it's one of them stories that you know, you want to hear. Same thing with Tank Davis, you know, being an orphan and, you know, where he was raised, he came up the hard way and look where he's at now. So it's a story where you want to see both fighters win. And, you know, in the press conference today, they both respect each other. They're being gentlemen. And I think that's great, man. I mean, it makes the sport look great. It makes it look good. You know, there's no bad mouthing. Nobody's talking mess. And they just want to put up a great fight. And I think it's going to be a really good fight. But I think Tank will probably, you know, I see him winning by late round stoppage, mid late round stoppage. That's what I predict.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that 7-1 favored heavily is crazy against a guy as good as Leo Santa Cruz. I don't deny Gervonta should be favored, but I don't think it should be as heavy as it is. And I'm throwing some bones on Leo to see what happens. I also hit Teofimo Lopez at +330 in that fight against Loma. So I can't wait for the fight Saturday night, 9 Eastern on Showtime pay-per-view. Roel, you do a great job with Showtime. I'm friends with everybody. B. Cust, Steven Espinoza, all the guys, Al Bernstein, everybody. You do a fantastic job. I always loved watching you fight. I was at a lot of your fights. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. Enjoy the fight on Saturday night, brother. Love you. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me on, and make sure you buy the fight on Showtime.
I got you, bro. My man, Raul Marquez, legend on the bench tonight, getting ready for Tank and El Terremoto Saturday night at the Feralamo Dome on Showtime pay-per-view. For all in the bench, am I making this stuff up? Did I just not tell you in the break that they can't even make, their play calling is atrocious. Like, it's 3rd and 5 and you throw a 1-yard pass. It's 2nd and 10, you throw a 2-yard pass. I mean, when are you going to realize that it's 3rd and 5 and you need to throw it 5 or 6 yards at least? At least. I mean, they throw these passes, it's so unbelievable to me how they'll drop back and throw a 2-yard pass when it's 3rd and 8. Like, what are you doing? And by the way, they put Teddy back in the game with his concussion. When I saw that guy get hit, he got, not only did he get his head taken off, but his entire helmet like shifted off of his head and like completely, like his entire, he was just completely discombobulated. He got lit up. And he got his back torqued, his head snapped back, his helmet was jarred off his skull. They put him in the tent, right? They put him in the blue tent for 10 minutes. He comes out, they start like playing around with his like shoulder pads or something on the bench. They put this guy in Walker for a few plays, and then they actually put Teddy back out on the field. So they brought him back out on the field for these, I guess, the 2nd down and 3rd down play, and they couldn't achieve anything. I mean, with their just anemic play calling. I mean, oh my God. I don't understand what kind of a moron is running the offense, if it's Rule or some OC that decides, you know, it's 3rd and 5, let's throw it. You know what? Why don't we throw it behind the line of scrimmage and see if the guy can get 6 yards? I don't know. And this is the NFL. This isn't some joke. This isn't the, you know, frankly, wide open Pac-12 or Mountain West where, you know, 3rd and 40 is nothing. You just go for it, right? In the NFL, you're 3rd and 5, you throw it 1 yard, you're going to get lit up. You're not even going to get close to the first down.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.